found that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Certainly felt that prayer tonight. Thank God for it. Thank God for the song service where the Lord's people lifted up their voices in praise and adoration to the Lord. The church is a very, very special place. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. It is a place where we come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And the scripture talks about the Lord who seeketh such to worship him, who worship him, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Lord seeketh such to worship him in that way, in that manner. And then we're just very, very thankful tonight that we have such a wonderful God to serve and such a wonderful place that he's built for us in the church, in the assembly of the saints, where we're able to come and worship him. I do ask for your prayers. We look together at a portion of God's Word. Just wanted to make sure I read that and quoted that scripture correctly. Very important. It says, "For the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." I'd like to read to you tonight from Psalm 46. And please pray for me as we look together. It's 11 verses in this psalm, and if the Lord would be with us, I'd like to look at all 11 if he continues to lead us as I feel right now. Psalm 46, we begin right at verse 1. And the words here is, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." This little word, Selah, is a kind of like a musical notation from the best I can find in my study of the scripture that tells us to pause. And for me, it's a word, and I believe I'm settled with that. I wouldn't be sharing it tonight if I didn't feel pretty settled with it. It's that which causes us to pause and think about this, meditate on it, think about it. So many times we read the Bible like we're reading a newspaper, and rather than really pausing and looking at what's being said, we kind of gloss over and miss so many portions of Scripture. And there are places in the Word of God where it's repeated, and those repetitions are there for a reason, and it's important when it's said twice, it's to put emphasis. Not that those things are any more important than any other thing, but it's the way that the Bible has been given by inspiration of God, and it's for us to really consider. Sometimes we'll see the word behold, which means, you know, stop and look and see. You know, just look at this. Pay attention to this. For me, this word Selah is like a place where you stop and you pause and you think about what has been said, and then another train of thought comes, and after that said, in this particular, and you'll find this through the Psalms in various places, it's something important for us to think about. Certainly the message in this psalm is one we truly need in this old world today. I don't know of any time in the history of our nation that our country has been in more peril than it is right now in the time and age in which we're living. Doesn't mean that our country hasn't been in peril in times past. I mean, we've had world wars that affected this nation. We've had civil wars that even affected the church here in this nation. We have an account in our minutes that of a clerk where he wrote after this church was not able to meet, like we're meeting tonight, for a period of about 4 years during the time of the Civil War, where they were not able to gather. And when I think about that, what a time that must have been, where you were not able to even come out in a place of public worship because there was a war raging all around you. I mean, the battlefield wasn't somewhere else. The battlefield was all around us. And you never knew each day what was going to come. And life had to be very, very difficult for those people that lived in that time. You read that account from that clerk, you can almost feel his emotion and the joy of being able to meet. That was almost like a meeting. When I read about it, I kind of think, boy, I'd love to have been at that meeting. And what it must have been like for them, those dear old saints, to be able at this point, maybe thinking I'd never get to do this again, come back and gather together and worship the Lord. And even at that meeting, they had a little sister join. You know, that had to be a very, very happy, happy time for those dear brethren. And it was a difficult time, and yet God was their refuge, was he not? And God was present with them. God was with those mothers and those fathers and those men on the battlefield and those children and all that were involved. And though life was so uncertain and so difficult in so many ways, God was their refuge and their strength. And what we read about in the scripture that God's people found in the Bible, they found as a very present help for them in a time of difficulty. And I think of the day and age in which we're living, we surely need that same Lord, don't we? I sure need him. And I know and believe tonight you understand that you need him. He says in one place, and this is the God of the Bible. So when you're talking about the God of the Bible, you want to make sure everybody understands that we're talking about the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And we're talking about the God who is the eternal God, who has not and will not ever change. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. We're talking about the God who is the triune God, the God who is God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Not just any God, not just any little G-O-D. This is the one and only God. Beside him, there is none other. And that is the God, not a God of our imagination, not a God of our creation, not a God that we make up in our minds or think about because we need and feel like we need something. Listen, this God is the one who allows us to understand and know that we need him. And we are here because he made us. He created us. We are his creation. And if you understand that, he's made you not only in the first creation, he's made you a new creation, a new creature, and allowed you to understand I really, truly need him in the world in which I'm living. And the good news is God is our refuge. Isn't that good? And if it said God was their refuge, that would be a wonderful thing to think about. We thought about how it was for them in the Old Testament days, in the New Testament days. We read it in the Bible. God was certainly their refuge. God was Peter's refuge when he was cast into prison. He delivered him out of prison. God was Paul's refuge when he was stoned and left for dead, and God took care of him. And out of his troubles, he said, "The Lord delivered me out of them all." God was the apostles' refuge even as they were martyred and gave their lives. God was their refuge as they were willing to die for the name and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. God never forsook them. And here's the news that's in the Bible. For every one of God's children, no matter who they are and where they've been, God has never left them, God has never forsaken them, and He never will. That's true in the past. That was true in the days of the apostles. It's true, and that's wonderful to think about, but this passage doesn't just say God was their refuge. It didn't just say God was our refuge. It says God is. That means today when I'm reading this, this moment, this hour, right where I am, right here on this whatever day. I'll miss the day if I try to tell you what day it is, but this Sunday here in 2015, today we can say just with certainty from the Word of God, God is our refuge. He is. And He's just as much ours as He was theirs, and boy, He really did something for them, didn't He? And if I think about what He's done for me in my life, you consider it for a moment. Has He been with you? What has He done for you in your life? Has He been your refuge? Has He been your supplier? Has He been your physician? Has He been your counselor? Has He been good to you? Has He supplied what you needed? Has He been there when you didn't know what to do and given you things in spite of yourself? Well, so many times, it's not just because of anything. Matter of fact, if it had been left up to us to have come to Him, the Scripture says, the natural man, which we are by nature, the natural man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. If we had been left in the darkness we were in by nature, we would have never called upon this God, or looked to Him for our refuge, or known anything about it. And yet, even before He ever quickened us, even in our mother's womb, when He created us, His eye was upon us, and His providential hand has taken care of us, and He is, and has been, and will ever be, our refuge. And He's not our refuge because we made Him to be. He's our refuge because He chose to be. That's the God we serve. That's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's the Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. That is the powerful Holy Spirit who moves in this world where He wills and as He sees fit, and is able to quicken one who's dead in sins and give them light without the help of anyone else. He does that and nobody can stop Him. The wind blows where God sends it, and the Spirit goes where God the Father has sent Him, and He goes to the hearts of every little child of grace, and there won't be one of them that He misses. And all of that is because God is our refuge. And He's our refuge. I'm thankful He's our refuge. I would be thankful if He's your refuge, but I'm really thankful He's our refuge, you know? I'm thankful He's my refuge, but I'm glad I'm not alone in that. I'm thankful He's our refuge. Isn't it good? He's our refuge. He's our. And who's the hour? There is an hour. Romans 8 tells us all about the hour. A people that He foreknew in covenant before the very foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 tells us about that elect family that God made choice of. Out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, the Lord saw fit, out of His own good will and His own good pleasure, to choose them. And He loved them, not because they were lovable, but in spite of the unlovable condition that He saw them in without Him. And I'm telling you, there's not one of us that were worthy or deserving of the love of God. It is all by His mercy and His grace. And if we got our just deserts, we'd all be consumed. But thanks be to God, He is what? He is our refuge. He is today. And if there's a tomorrow, He'll be tomorrow. And if there's a next week, He'll be next week. And in heaven and eternity, He will be every day our refuge. Now, that's true. Whether you and I embrace it or see it or understand it tonight or not, it's true. But isn't it a whole lot better to believe it and live like it than to walk in this world scared to death? Sometimes I have to admit to you, I wish I could tell you all the time I was trusting, all the time I was believing, all the time I was doing like we sang tonight, trusting and obeying, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I wish I was always happy in Jesus, trusting and obeying, but sometimes I get scared. Sometimes I get afraid. Sometimes I forget that He is my refuge. Sometimes I think, what's going to happen if this occurs? Do you listen to the news sometimes and it causes you to quake and to fear and to wonder what's coming next? Do you listen to the accounts that come from a doctor sometimes and wonder what's going to happen to me physically? What's going to happen to my family? Do you listen to the economic forecast sometimes and wonder, am I going to be able to pay the bills this year? Am I going to be able to get through? Am I going to get to retire like I really want to? Or will I have to work a little longer? Am I going to be able to do this or am I going to be able to do that? And rather than sleeping well on a bed that the Lord's provided for me, I toss and turn sometimes because I forget God is my refuge and He is our refuge. Tonight I hope we'll leave here, go home and sleep well. Not because we're lazy, but because we're believing and we're trusting and we want to be obedient. And when we are trusting and obeying, we're happy in Jesus. Listen, and if you're happy in Jesus, it doesn't really matter what else is going on. And if you're not happy in Jesus, it doesn't really matter what else is going on. It's all about Him. And once we see that and understand He, and this God who is our refuge, He's God the Father who loved you with an everlasting love before the very foundation of the world. He's God the Son, not another God, but the same God, one God. He was one with the Father, the Son was one with the Father, and the Father was one with the Son, and the Son is the one who came and loved you enough to redeem you. He's God the Holy Spirit, who is one with the Father, one with the Son, who came and applies that wonderful salvation in your life and quickens you and makes you alive and allows you to sing praises to Him from a mouth that would never do anything but curse Him if He hadn't touched your heart. And all of it is because, not because you made Him your refuge, it's because He is your refuge by His choice. And you and I ought to believe that tonight and walk in this world trusting. God is our refuge. And that means the one who made the world is your refuge. The one who took nothing and made everything that was. You know, you go outside and you feel that sun and the effects of it, you go like, what a powerful thing that sun is. Boy, you can't look at it. You know, you feel the sun. If you stand out in it too long, especially if you're fair-complected like me, you'll get burned up. You'll get a burn from it. I mean, that sun is a powerful thing. Listen. The one who made that sun, how powerful must He be? He's the one, and get this, He made the light before He made the sun. He just put the sun there. He had made the light. The light was in existence, but then He put the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, and every day you and I can count on it. The weatherman in the morning, if you look, he'll tell you when it's supposed to come up, and then he tells you when to set it down. He's not in control of it. He's just announcing what the Lord's sending it to do. And it's not only He that made this world we're dependent upon, but the one whom by all things consists, which means that not only He put it into being, He didn't just like a watchmaker get the watch and put it together and then walk away and let it run. No, His eye is on the sparrow. Y'all believe that, don't you? We sing it. His eye is on the sparrow. There's not a sparrow that falls without Him. There's not a bug that crawls on the ground without Him. And He's the one who's your refuge. How does that... Boy, you know, if somebody was my refuge and, you know, somebody said, I'm your refuge, I got your back, and he's broke, I would be in trouble, wouldn't I? I'd be, if he didn't have any, if somebody says, don't worry about your bills, I got your back, and he doesn't have any money, what good does that kind of refuge help? You know, he might have the will, but he doesn't have the ability. Listen, you trust in men, they may have the want to, but they don't have the ability. And they may have the ability and not have the want to. They may say one thing and do another. They may say it today and leave you tomorrow. They may promise today and then lie and not tell the truth. Listen, but for a piece of bread, the Bible says, a man will transgress. And that's why we're not to put our trust in men, nor the princes of men, but trust in the living God. Listen, who cannot lie. And He is my refuge. He is our refuge. What are we saying? I'm saying He's got the power to keep you. And He has the power to provide whatever it is that you need. And He's promised to provide it. And He said He would provide it. And He said He is our refuge. We need and should trust in Him. Well, come what may. Come what may, whether joy or sorrow. Jesus knows. And is it important that He knows? Yes. Is it important that He has power? Yes. Is it important that He cares? Yes. All of those things are important. And if He had any of those things without all of them, He'd be insufficient. The good news about our God, He's sufficient. Isn't that wonderful? Our Lord is sufficient. He has the love. He has the power. He has the knowledge. He has it all. He is our everything. And that is the one who is our refuge. God is our refuge. A very present help in trouble. How present is the Lord? Well, we know this. He's everywhere present and He's nowhere absent, which means He's here tonight with us. And if we go out in the vestibule, He'll be in the vestibule. And if we go out the door and go outside, He's right outside. And if we go get in our cars, He's in our cars. And He's in our homes right now, but we're not there. He's everywhere present. If we try to run from Him, we'll be as successful as Jonah in that effort. Jonah said, I'm gonna go away from it. The Lord sent him to get up to go. Jonah said, I'm getting up all right, but I'm going the other way. I'm going to try to go somewhere else. Listen, was God surprised with what Jonah did? No. There had been a preparation of a whale, a great fish that the Lord was preparing for Jonah. Somebody said, well, that fish, where did that come from? Listen, that was Jonah's fish. God prepared that fish because He knew, knowing in His foreknowledge what Jonah would do. Here was a fish prepared. And when Jonah went overboard, that fish saved him. That's sometimes the way God's salvation comes. It's not the most pleasant thing all the time. I surely don't know what like the inside of a whale's belly would be like. I would hate to be in all of the digestive juices and everything else that would be inside of a whale's belly. And some people have speculated what Jonah must have looked like when he come outside. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us all about that, and it's just speculation. But I know one thing. It isn't that pretty little picture of somebody sitting inside of a whale in a houseboat or something. He was saved. But I'm telling you, one of the best things at that very moment, the best thing that ever happened to Jonah, because he was about to drown and die, was he was delivered by the whale. And it swallowed him, that great fish. The Bible calls it a great fish and a whale. It calls it both. It swallowed him. And then it delivered him to the shore so that he would go and do what the Lord sent him to go do in the first place. You know who was Jonah's refuge? God was his refuge. And that same God is our refuge. And He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. He says, therefore will not we fear. And that's the message tonight. Don't be afraid. You know, we've mentioned so many sick folks tonight. We've mentioned so many that having trouble, so many that having difficulty, so many things that are uncertain. I'll tell you, I've had a week seemingly of uncertain things. Didn't know a week ago what it was going to mean for my dad. Just still, and you know what? I don't know tonight what it's going to mean. A thing could change. How quickly can it change? One day your house is there and the next day it's gone. One day a person that you really trusted in is right there, and then one day he may be gone. She may be gone. We don't know what a day is going to bring. We know this. Every day we're in the hands of Almighty God, and He is our refuge. And when we look to Him, we can live in this old uncertain world with a measure of certainty that's just unbelievable. Knowing that our certainty is not in stuff, it's not in things, but it's in the Lord. Isn't it good to have a God that every day you can get up and say, okay, it's going to be this is the day that Thou hast made. I want to be rejoicing and glad in it. And here it comes, sister. And I'm going to be daily loaded with benefits. And that's His grace and His blessing. Every day. Every day. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. What does that mean? That means if everything turns upside downwards. That means if the earth, if the nation we're in collapses. If everything gets shaken around us. If everything that we know and have some measure of security, like the money in our pockets, if it goes bad, you know, you could have certain kinds of money, you could have a pocket full of it, and it, you know, it may not be worth anything tomorrow. We have no promise of that. Somebody said, but if I fill my house with gold, I'll have it. Well, maybe. What if you're hungry? How good is gold to eat? I mean, you know, if there's no bread to eat, what's good is the gold? Listen, the bread on our tables, the clothes on our backs, the food we have, every blessing we have has come from the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that's the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. That's the God who is our refuge, and our trust is in Him. And we're to live every day looking and leaning to Him. And I'll tell you, every day you do that, you'll live. The promise is you'll find the joy and the rest and the peace that's found in trusting and obeying. Be happy in Jesus. Though we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof. And then he said, just pause and think about that. Listen, brethren, our safety, our security in this old world as God's little children is in the Lord God of heaven. And that's a certain, sure place that you and I can rest tonight and lean upon. And when we get off that rock, let's help one another get back on it. And when we slide off, let's encourage one another with the gospel. Just trust in the Lord. Wives, when your husband starts getting all shaky, just say, remember, we trusted in the Lord. It's the Lord who has kept us and brought us safe this far. It's the Lord who takes care of us. And the Lord who's been with us. And the Lord who's provided what we needed. Over and over and over again. He goes on and he says, there is a river. I love to picture this river just for a little bit. We're going to close with this. I'm not going to try to get all the way to verse 11. We may be here a long time tonight. And you've been very patient. And I thank the Lord for what He's given us already. If we don't even get any more, I'll be thankful for that. I just want to see Him as our refuge. Happy Creek, we have a refuge tonight. This little church, our little churches that seem to be fading in certain places, have a refuge. We have a place. We have one to look to. We have a Lord we can depend upon. We have a Lord who has promised that He will keep Himself a witness in this world until the Lord comes again. Upon this rock, He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He so told us to lean upon Him and return unto our first love and repent and trust in Him, and He'll keep our house. And may the Lord bless us to be faithful in doing that. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And all these other things that we worry about, and those are the natural things of life, will be added to you. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want, but you'll get all you need. Listen, we want way too much anyway, don't we? Well, you'll have all that you need. He said, there's a river. I love to think of this river. Now, this isn't a river like other rivers. This river has the streams coming out of it. Most other rivers have streams that pour into it and make the river. You have the little waterways that come in, and then the streams come, and then in the stream you get the big river. Listen, this river comes out and flows out. It comes out of heaven. This river, there's a river. It's flowing out of heaven. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This is the river of God's one. I love to think of it as His love. God's everlasting love. Listen, the reason God hasn't elected people is because He loved them. That's why He chose them. He loved them. And every blessing we have has come because of His love. His mercy has been shown to us because He loved us. He sent His Son because He loved us. He sent Jesus died on the cross because He loved us. We have a church tonight because He loved us. Every blessing that you have in your life has come because He loved you. It's all come out of this great river that's flowed out, and the streams have made glad. Listen, we're glad tonight and happy. I hope you're happy in the Lord tonight because He loved you. And that's come from that great river of His love. And that river is so wide and so deep and so broad. I can't get it. It's too deep for me. But I'm thankful to think about it tonight. It's everlasting. God's love is everlasting. He doesn't change. His love's unconditional. It's not based on what I've done. If it had, He'd have stopped loving me a long time ago. His love is eternal. His love is unchangeable. His love, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, and we've repeated often, His love is kind and vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, it doesn't behave itself unseemly. And anything we do, even in the service of God, that isn't in love is sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We can't worship Him tonight without His love. And guess what? That love flows out of that river that comes from God, and He supplied us with a sufficient amount of love that we can love Him and then love one another. And if it wasn't for Him, we'd have none of that. Not only is His love flowing out of that river, but that love has provided every spiritual benefit that we have. The Holy Spirit. Listen, God is the one from whom it flows. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that it comes to us, because without His redemptive work, we wouldn't be able to have it. And it's by the Holy Spirit that it's distributed in this world. We believe the Spirit of God moves in our lives and supplies the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy. Think about what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians says it's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and those things against which He said there is no law. Listen, if we didn't have those things, what would our lives be like without those things? He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. I believe this is talking about the Lord's church. And He says, God shall help her, and that right early. That means He's our present help tonight here at our little church. And when we meet together, the Lord meets with us. We have the manifest presence of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we can't sing. Without the Spirit, we can't preach. Without the Spirit, you can't hear preaching. Without the Spirit, you can't love one another. We just have a big fight without the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that keeps our church at peace. It's the Spirit of the Lord that keeps your homes at peace. It's the Spirit of the Lord that keeps your heart at peace. Without the movement of His Spirit in our lives, there would be no... Listen, He's the one that causes war to cease in this world. Otherwise, we're just in a battle. Battles on the inside, battles with other people, battles in our lives. It's only God who can bring us true peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And He said, "In me that ye might have peace." And that's a peace that really passes understanding. You almost don't have to have good sense to have that peace. I don't mean it's illogical. I just mean you don't have to understand. It's like a little child who's at peace when he's in the protection of a parent. He doesn't have to understand all why he's safe. He just knows he's safe because I'm with my daddy. I'm safe because I'm with my mama. Listen, if you and I can realize I'm under the watch care of the Lord Father, God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that I will not fear what men shall do to me. I can trust and lean upon the Lord, not only because He has the power to keep me, but He has the love for me. And that's what He's telling us here. God's love has been shown to us. So a God of all power that has no love for you would not be one that you would... Well, we need as much His love as we do the power. He has the power and He has the love. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. And that's what do you hear that in the world today? Boy, men are raging. And that isn't new. That's been down through the ages. The heathen have raged. Men have despised the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and everyone who's ever loved Him. They've hated those who love Him because they hated Him. And if we love Him tonight, I pray we do, they will hate us because we love Him. There are men that have been, and today are being beheaded because they will name the name of Jesus Christ. They will lose their life and be called on for that kind of sacrifice. And we don't know when that may come even our direction, but can I say this about all of that? Remember this, no matter what just what we've read, who is our refuge? God is our refuge. So, whatever that be, it'll be okay in the Lord. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Behold, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. And I think about this verse, and I think about all the times we see in the scripture God's mighty power delivered and God's mighty power moved, and men tried to defy him and stand up against him, and every time what happened? You think of those prophets of Baal that stood up against Elijah and cried out against Elijah, and Elijah standing alone, and yet God's the fire came down as Elijah by faith called upon the Lord. The fire came down, and the sacrifice was that the altar was. As a matter of fact, everything was. The fire came down and it burned up the sacrifice. It even licked up the dust. That's the power of Almighty God. He says, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot into the fire. Verse 10 says, Be still and know that I am God. Tonight, may we just sit and be still. It's so good to just do that sometimes. Just be still. Sometimes we're just so busy we don't have time to be still. There's times just to be still. And be still in your heart. Be still. And do what? And know. Feel His presence. That He is God. And here's the fact of the matter. He will not share His glory with anyone. He deserves all the praise and all the glory. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then verse 11, and we'll close with that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention.